Thanks for tuning in to Go to Market Radio. Every episode, we'll be getting up close and personal with GTM leaders and experts so you can learn the secrets of their success. Looking to take your team to the next level? You're in the right place. Every week, we're bringing you an exclusive podcast from the Alliance Archives that highlights a core aspect of GTM. If you love this episode as much as we do, make sure to subscribe and we'll keep you up to date with all the latest on our channel.
Welcome back to the Ready, Set, Go to Market podcast. My name is Holly Watson, and I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager at AWS. Today's episode will round us out with a deep dive on our go-to-markets, measuring success. Measuring the success of a launch can be challenging, from attribution, adoption, and consumption metrics to 30, 60, 90-day revenue targets. These data points of success are not the easiest to come by, and they can oftentimes be challenging to capture. In this segment, we'll be speaking with Carter Holland, a senior marketing executive with over 25 years of experience leading large-scale marketing teams. Welcome to the show, Carter.
Thanks for having me.
So glad you're here. To get us started, do you mind giving us a little bit about your...
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I'm a technology marketer. I've been doing this for, about 25 plus years. Most of my experience is in B2B. I've got a little bit of B2C experience. I would also say a fair amount of B2B to C. So also sort of marketing to end user customers, but when the product is actually being sold to other businesses. I would say sort of the center of my wheelhouse is, triangulating sort of total addressable market analysis with geographic trends and customer insights in a way to, shape customer acquisition and retention programs that help drive revenue growth and profitability. Mm-hmm. I've worked at, startups and public companies. And I guess personally, I would say I'm sort of a combination of an art and science marketer. I tell people a lot that I'm a data junkie, so I'm always looking at the numbers. But I'm also a musician, so I bring a component of creativity to my work as well.
That perfect blend of the left brain, right brain marketer.
Maybe not perfect, but this way.
Well, I think it's something we all strive for, but you know that our audience is predominantly made up of product marketers, and your background isn't necessarily in that formal product marketing background, but often the PMM function sits within marketing. What goals and KPIs do you hold a product marketing team accountable for?
So the number one goal is revenue, right? Being accountable for product revenue that's associated with, adoption by new users, like net new logos and upsells and cross sells. I think really without a revenue focus, product marketing is sort of, it's more words and analysis, et cetera, but it needs to be done with purpose. So I would say, in my opinion, revenue is the ultimate goal. And then there's probably a set of KPIs that, I always look at KPIs as being sort of the health indicators of whether or not you're going to hit your goal. So if revenue is the goal, the other KPIs that feed into that, which are both sort of can be qualitative and quantitative. But I think in order to hit the revenue goal, you've got to have, a clear map of the target users, right? Like that's where you get into personas and use cases and pain points for each of the personas. I think in many businesses, there's also a layer of archetypes, business archetypes, where you have different flavors of a business where the pain points, even the personas, but the pain points and the use cases for that business may differ and vary from business to business. So archetypes are another key component, and having that well documented is sort of be a qualitative KPI. Obviously, competitive strengths, weaknesses, kill points, things like that. Having a really, really strong messaging framework designed to sort of address all of the above, to be able to package all of the above up. So that's another key KPI. You can't actually put, you know, great influencing messaging together, you know, have that kind of framework, and it's that kind of influencing messaging that's going to drive customers to make purchases. So I think if I had to be sort of more specific around KPIs, I'd probably say, you know, win rates are something, you know, against competitors and also like internal solutions. I mean, sometimes, you know, companies don't buy a competitor, they build it themselves. Mm-hmm. So how you position against that, an internal solution, and then looking at the win rates in both of those categories, that's definitely a top KPI to understand if you're going to hit your revenue targets. The usage, product usage rates, so what are the core capabilities that correlate with sort of adoption by new logos as well as retention. And then all the materials that product marketing is creating, what materials are being used, for example, by sales the most, and show evidence of, you know, potentially even shortening the sales cycle because this set of materials is actually really resonating and customers are making buying decisions faster. So those are ways to sort of, you know, quantify, you know, metrics that can really help indicate whether or not, you know, you're going to be on track for hitting revenue goals.
Mm. So a lot of different activities in there, but with a primary focus of how is this impacting revenue? How are we prepping sales to drive more leads? How are we prepping material, making sure that it's resonating to take out competition? But again, major focus there on revenue.
Yeah, because really, I mean, what are all businesses in business
doing? Right. Right.
I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I think sometimes it can be easy to lose sight of that. Like any team that's working on, you know, could be a new product introduction. It could be just, you know, maybe it's a new release. It could just be, you know, updating, you know, content for a particular product. But what is the end goal, right? The end goal is to drive revenue. So if you're not thinking about that when you're working on those things, you sometimes can get sort of trapped in what exactly am I doing and how does mm-hmm. it relate to what the potential success is, right?
Well, something you mentioned was, you know, the adoption metrics and almost looking at it, you know, you mentioned sales. I do kind of go into the net new user prospects, in terms of converting those leads, but then also the adoption metrics, right? If once we've sold that customer, how much are they consuming using our solution, service, our product? And so one question I'd love to pose to you is how has the role of a product marketer changed the way you as a marketing leader look at both new user adoption campaigns versus current existing customers and doing more of that consumption adoption?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's a really interesting question. And I think, you know, because my background in marketing and rising to marketing leadership comes from the communication side, right? Like I'm not a product marketer by, you know, throughout my career. I mean, I've managed product marketing and so I think what I bring to the focus is a lot around the differentiated position, right? And then how is that impacting our effectiveness when it comes to those things like new user adoption and consumption, right? Mm-hmm. So let's kind of break it down a little bit. So I mean, differentiation is critical. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Actually, last night I was watching Shark Tank, and there was this product. You can go look it up. It's called X-Torch. And basically, it's like this flashlight that has like a couple of, like, you can use it in a bunch of different ways. It has a USB charger or whatever. And, you know, Mark Cuban at one point is like, it's a flashlight. And the two owners that are there, the one owner was like emphatic. He's like, no, this is not a flashlight. It's the only, and then he like, it was almost like he was reading like the one-liner that product marketing has written.
Of course, sure, that they crafted.
Yeah, it was like, no, it's not a flashlight. It's the only rechargeable you know, solar powered lantern that's also a phone charger that you can count on when the power goes out. And Mark Cuban goes, otherwise known as a flashlight. So like the thing is, it's like you have to be able to differentiate. And I say this, people who know me hear me as a broken record on this. You have to be able to differentiate things in a way that you can own that nobody else can. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there to make the statement that guy made is like, anybody could say that. So like, why would you be different than anybody else? And, mm-hmm. and this is really important when it comes to, you know, how are we going to actually ensure that we're, you know, able to draw, influence new customers using our product. It all comes down to, you know, being able to articulate the gap that they have in whatever they're trying to accomplish, which is some sort of pain point, and how we can close that gap, right? It's, you know, at the end of the day, people are trying to be successful in their jobs or whatever. And then if there's something impeding that success, that's creating pain for them. So our ability to describe that pain that they're feeling, and then being able to say, here's how that pain can be eliminated in a way that you're not going to be able to eliminate it using something else. That is critical. And I think those things apply both, quite frankly, to new customer adoption as well as consumption, right? I mean, if you're trying to really emphasize, you know, how a product can be used to an existing audience, you know, it's a matter of really drilling in on those points. And I think the last thing I guess I would say too is, as it relates to that, is being human in that. I mean, marketers get lost in like speeds and feeds and jargon and, you know, that nobody understands. And like, just like we forget sometimes that there's a revenue goal behind what we're doing, I think even more we forget that there's actually like a human being, a person on the other end of the buying process, right? So if we can actually relate to people on a human level, I think the success will follow. If we speak to people in normal terms about, you know, their pain and about our solution, I think we'd all be surprised at how we could accelerate adoption. So I don't know if that fully answers your question, but
No, I think it really does. I like the idea of, you know, previously talking about goals and KPIs. Yes, we want to have a focus on revenue, but you also want to spend time doing the competitive research, understanding your personas, understanding the archetype so that you can understand their pain points, which is essentially allowing you to develop this kind of repertoire of how to speak to your target audience, what campaigns are going to be most resonant with them, and ultimately to the full, you know, from the buying journey all the way through the customer journey, making sure that end user is nodding their head, yes, I not only made the right choice, but now it's solving pain points and I want to buy more, use more, do more with the solution. So I see how they're kind of stitching together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, a little bit more focus here on our product launches. With product launches, oftentimes come, you know, much more specific metrics to that project. Obviously, spanning shorter launch timeframes from a couple of weeks to even longer ones that can be extended into 6 months, a year. What are some of the key business objectives and metrics, again, focused with product launches, that a product marketer should consider?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, again, I would say revenue, right? There's no revenue, sure. Don't launch it. I mean, just don't. I you'd be surprised how many times, you know, in my career, I've asked the team, like, what's the revenue, you know, objective here? And it's sort of like, we don't know. It's like, well, what are we doing? Like, what's the point? So that can be obtained, right? And so obviously we're not going to just say, don't launch the product. We're going to launch the product, but let's go make sure that we have the revenue goal. I think sort of dissecting that revenue goal can be important too. If you're a global business, you know, the revenue goal should be regional, right? So, you know, how do you work with local sales and marketing leaders on their business and pipeline objectives to understand how you can be impacting the launch in their region? Not every region is going to have the same piece of the goal, right? And we can get into like the differences that exist also in regions and personas and businesses. You know, I can give some examples of that, but that's really, really important. And that gets down also to, you know, we often sometimes think like, oh, here are the four main selling propositions of this product. And in a way, if we homogenize it too much like that, it may not work in every part of the world, right? Mm-hmm. That's not to say like it's like hypersensitive, like in Germany, it's going to be different than it is in the UK versus, you know, Illinois. But mm-hmm. you could, across Europe, in a certain business segment, have very different pain points than you might have in the US in a different segment. And so at the end of the day, like the product does what the product does, but it's being able to relate to the challenge that the market has, right? So I think the regional piece as it relates to revenue goals is really important. And then again, that cascades to how we're going to position the product. I think the other thing that's absolutely critical, and I probably should have mentioned this earlier in terms of sort of a quantifiable KPI, but in B2B marketing, I mean, in my opinion, like you win because of three things. You're going to help your customers do one of these three things: make money, achieve some sort of savings, right? Time or cost, and reduce risk. I mean, in B2B, it really comes down to those three things. Most everything else can probably be slotted under one of these. And so like, if we only say that we're faster or better or like without hard data, it doesn't mean anything. So you can't just say like, hey, you know, when you use our product, like you're going to grow your business faster, or you'll save countless hours of time. Like that's a hollow comment, right? When you actually do the work to justify value, like data value that the product can actually quantify, quantifiable results, you can't argue with the benefit, right? You can debate it, like whether it's good enough or not, but the data is substantive. So it's really important that you have specific quantifiable value that the product, you know, can deliver. It's like, for example, just to like make it real, imagine a piece of tech that was going to automate a process, right? So if you just talk about the fact that it gives you greater operating efficiencies and like these kinds of, I'm sort of saying it funny because it's just like generic, right? It's homogenized. But it's like, if you can describe it because you've done the work and say like, hey, before this process could be automated, it took, you know, a team of three people 2 days to complete the work. But now with automation, only one person, you know, has to be involved. They can set it up in 30 minutes and the automated process is complete in 2 hours. So like what used to take three people 2 days to complete now takes 2.5 hours with 30 minutes of one person's time. It's like you use those data points to justify the value. And now you're hitting core value pain point that the business understands. Like they know if they can save that amount of time, that there's an efficiency metric they can manage mm-hmm. to. But if you're only telling them you can be more efficient with this, like everybody's saying that. So you're competing with everybody else. Right. So those kinds of things like are critical, like when you're launching any type of product. And I think the challenge there is sometimes with a new product, it's like we don't necessarily know what those quantifiable metrics are. We may not have even had the time to actually like test it in the field and get those data points. But I always challenge the product teams who are building it to on that. Like what have we tested? Like what do we know about the performance that we can use as metrics, right? Mm-hmm. That's a little bit long-winded. I mean, I think there's other things too, like, you know, who are we targeting in terms of competitors? Like how many competitors do we want to displace with this launch? I think there's, you know, things like objection handling that play key roles in launches. And then, as I mentioned earlier, sort of, you know, triangulating personas and geographic trends and nuances sure. there. I think those are really critical in launching product.
Well, the one question that I have to almost double down on is such a good one in terms of working with your product management team. You made the statement, ask that team, you know, what do we know? What are the performance metrics that we know are currently working, that we're watching, that we're expecting those end users to pick up? And I think that is just worth re-emphasizing. It's such a valid, fantastic question that opens up a lot of conversations with the product team And I had to just call it out again.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's worth maybe being a little provocative here too, and saying, you know, challenge your product teams if they're not giving you the answer that's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's their job to develop the solution. It's product marketing's job to take that to market, right, and communicate in a way that's going to matter to somebody who needs to buy it. Mm. Product teams are notorious for, like, they're innovating, right? They're developing capabilities and, like, isn't this cool? And it can do that and it can do this. And that's all great. But how do we know that this matters to the end user, right? So, like, what conversations have they had that illuminate, you know, here's the problem that we were told exists in this business? And by the way, that's where you can start to uncover some of these conversations. If they haven't actually, like, you know, it may be that we didn't do the final test, but they might say to you, look, you know, we've been hearing in the field that it takes 3 people 2 days to get this thing done. And now what we've offered them is a way to get it done in like 2.5 hours, right? So from a marketing standpoint, you can take that to market in a quantifiable way, and you can get that data out of the product team, hopefully. If you can't, and you're pushing on it, and they just kind of keep coming back with, like, how great it is, and, like, just trust me, like, people are going to want this, like, don't settle for that. I mean, push hard on it, and you're only doing it in the spirit of, we're going to be able to sell more of it and make more money faster as a company, the better we are able to quantify the value. It's just, it's absolutely proven. Like, your customers don't know how to choose if they're faced with 5 different things and nobody's quantifying any value. If 4 of them are generic and 1 of them quantifies the value, which one do you think they're going to buy? Right?
Right. You got to make it explicit for that buyer. I would even say too, just, you know, working with your sales team to understand some of those pain points, but even reiterating to the product team, we don't have that much time and attention, right? We care about our service, our solution, 80% of our working days. But majority of our customers we're selling to, you know, it's a solution that just needs to work. So right. That small attention span that we have, we've got to make it impactful.
Yep.
So we've touched on this a little bit, in terms of, you know, looking at the metrics that we follow or that we track being qualitative versus quantitative. Quantitative metrics are definitely, they drive conversations. They're very fact-based, and they're to your point, you know, encourage strong debates, but at least drive some good conversations. There's also the other side of the coin, though, of qualitative metrics that are still very valuable, but again, maybe aren't as concrete. What are some of those qualitative metrics that you do find valuable?
I think qualitative metrics like, you know, taking a hard look at the messaging and positioning that we've put together and doing a diagnostic on what's working well and what's not working well, right? Meaning we're actually, you know, speaking to customers or understanding from the field team that's out selling that, you know, this message is resonating, this one is not. That actually can be played out in multiple ways in, like, the messaging and positioning of the actual solution. Particularly in, and I'm sure you know this, like, in objection handling, right? Which is always a living and breathing process. I think, you know, like, the number of times sort of sales comes in and says, like, oh my gosh, we're being beaten up by this new company or new tool that's out there, and here's what they're saying about us and their own solution. And so, you know, product marketing develops some kill points, and we go back out to market with that. And, like, I don't know, 4 of the 10 kill points resonate, and the other 6 don't. Getting that information back in to product marketing to understand, like, what's really working. And if the other 6 aren't, then how do we, like, what do we understand about that, that we can sort of kick them to the curb or refine them? And then, by the way, that's always going to be changing. Like, sales is going to go back out with that kind of thing and have more conversations. And you know what, in a month's time, there's either going to be a new competitive entrant or something, some dynamic is going to change. Right. So I think that's important. And that's relating to, like, the example of competitive, but I think the same thing is true of, you know, pain points, like, actually talking to customers, whether it's product marketing, which, you know, again, we often sometimes get buried in our own internal work that we're not out there talking to customers enough, but it's actually having those conversations to get that qualitative feedback that really helps shape how we're going to go back out to market. And that can come either from direct conversations with customers, it can come from the field sales team having conversations with customers, et cetera. But people don't often think of that. I mean, it's like qualitative feedback is going to come from if you're doing a survey. It's also going to come if you're having conversations with folks and you're actually documenting that. And that's sort of forming the framework for how you're going to, you know, how you're going to put your position and your strategy together. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, you're touching on that continuous feedback loop, right? Yeah. Making sure that as a product marketer, we're having the conversations with our stakeholders, bringing that insight from the field back to our product teams. And of course, any new innovation that's developed back into the field. So I think it's important for us as product marketers to be, you know, kind of hypersensitive and attuned to how is that feedback loop working? What mechanisms am I putting in place to facilitate these types of conversations?
Yeah.
So I think I know the answer to this next question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Is there a single leading metric that would define the success of a product launch?
What's the answer?
Revenue.
Revenue. That's right. Yeah. I mean, again, I mean, we've said it earlier, right? But you're going to look at the success. I mean, you can say all the other things like cost, customer adoption, et cetera, but all of those things should be leading to revenue. I mean, if you get customers to adopt it and there's not revenue associated with it, like that's actually, I mean, then the business should be asking, is that the right thing for us to be focused on, right? But revenue is the single, in my mind, is the single most important metric.
Well, to take that just a bit deeper, when introducing new capabilities and new product functionality, and some might define net new as, you know, there's a new SKU on the roster for the sales team, you know, to include in their deals. Something that I think that we often look at is it a 30, 60, 90 day metric of revenue and how that revenue is ideally increasing? Or do you kind of measure it based off of the sales cycle? I mean, some sales cycles are much longer than 30 days. So there's very low indicators of actually seeing that metric until months out. How yeah. might you look at that?
Yeah, so I take a very holistic view on the business and revenue to start. So before I ever get to sort of product revenue, you know, I'm going to look at what's the company revenue for, right, for the business, take it over a year. So our year over year revenue growth is expected to be X. Then how does that break out by region, by product? You know, so how are you triangulating that? Because that's where nuances are going to come into play. And, mm-hmm. and therefore, like when you set a revenue goal for product, it can have those nuances attached to it. It may be that a new product is not going to be, like we may say in the first 6 months, we're expecting the adoption to be in the US only. Like we're not actually going to push this in Europe yet for whatever reason, but that's going to be based on, you know, what the market is telling us. It may be like, hey, it's going to be split just the way our business is split. We get 10% from Asia and 30% from Europe and the rest mm-hmm. from, you know, so we're going to break it out that way. But like, that's the way I tend to look at it. Then I think you want to sort of dovetail that with, okay, when we look at all of our products and the revenue there we're expecting from that, how does that tie in to the way we've set up to run our business? Because, and then by the way, it's a step that a lot of times people don't take. Because there's sort of like the peanut butter approach. It's like, hey, we're going to launch this product. We're going to launch it worldwide. We're expecting, you know, $80 million in revenue to come. And like, who knows where it's coming from? So it's just like we throw it all against the wall and see what sticks. But the more you can actually be more successful if you've done the analysis up front to say, if we've got to generate $5 million or $10 million in revenue for this product, 70% of that could actually come from APAC, because here's the need that's in that market and here's the need that this product addresses, right? Like I'm making all this up, but it's being able to triangulate it that way. So So when you ask the question about like the single leading metric and I say it's revenue, there's a lot more to that. Like, how do you tease that apart and actually have, you know, sub, you know, metrics underneath that? And by the way, when you do that, it becomes extremely actionable for the teams. Like, everybody feels like they know what their stake is. And then when it comes to like regional teams developing programs against that, like, they have clear markers in place to go to go after.
Yeah, I love that. It's really kind of tying our conversation together from very start of, you know, formulating your plan as a product marketer, asking not only those questions that, you know, what are the performance metrics that help us define the differences with this solution, but also in that go-to-market planning, setting up some of those goals and KPIs that says, you know, what does success look like for this launch? Getting more specific into sales regions, territories, revenue targets by those regions, that to your point is really helping us, you know, be more effective and efficient in terms of setting up those campaigns, doing sales enablement plays, and making sure that we ultimately are hitting those business objectives.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so for a bit of fun, I got to throw this out to you again. You've been working with a multitude of different marketing teams, all sizes and scales, multitude of different types of organizations as well. And you've been, of course, working with product marketers throughout your tenure. But how do you see the role of product marketing shaping the marketing leadership teams of the future?
You know, it's a great question. And I think it's, well, I don't know, I have some interesting perspective on this. Number one, I would say the number of times I am approached by, you know, like a recruiter for a CMO role where they say, you know, the company's looking for somebody with a very, very strong product marketing background. I would say that happens 70% of the time, if not more. So it's a clear need. I mean, the need is there. Now I'm not talking to, you know, I'm not involved in every search that's going on, but I think this is indicative of the fact that there's an inherent challenge that most companies have in creating a really compelling value prop for their offering. And I think it's by virtue of our world has gotten so saturated, right, with products, with messages, with, like, I mean, every time you turn around, it's sometimes it's sort of like one of the reasons I love watching Shark Tank, actually, is just sort of the new business ideas, because so many, you know, I've got a son who's in college, who's very entrepreneurial, who loves coming up with new business ideas. But there's also, like, every time he comes up with one, it's like, yeah, there's like 15 other people that are already doing that, right? And it's not to say that there are not new ones out there. But the thing is, it's like I mentioned, homogenized world, like, we're living in a space that, you know, think about naming products, right? It's like very, very difficult to do because, like, you know, I don't want to say all the names have been taken, but there's a lot out there. And I think marketing, it's just becoming harder and harder to differentiate. So I believe that when a recruiter says, you know, the CEO is looking for somebody with a strong product marketing background, when I dig into it and ask the questions, the reason I'm saying this is because that's what's coming to the surface. They need to create a compelling value prop for their offer that's actually going to drive revenue. Now, I'll be a little bit provocative and say, in my experience, I think the best product marketers are those that are technically adept but are great storytellers. Mm. If you're not a good storyteller and you're technically adept and you have like good command of the language and things like that, you'll do a great job at putting together sort of the, you know, the speeds and feeds of the product, but the storytelling is where you're really thinking of the buyer, the pain points, how to make it human, all the things that we've talked about. And so I actually, it's interesting, like coming from the communication side of marketing, like that's the sweet spot for me, right? It's actually, it's being able to, you know, process all of the technical nuance and capability of a product, but then being able to put it into human terms and position it in a way that's actually going to influence people to buy. That I think is at the epicenter of marketing challenges for businesses today. I mean, without question, I think like every CMO and every marketing leadership team needs to be, you know, be thinking that way.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the skill sets that a product marketer should craft and and kind of hone in on as they go throughout their career. And storytelling is one of the key ones that is reoccurring amongst many others. But I'm happy to hear that storytelling continues to be kind of a strong standpoint from experiences that you're having. And then I think the last question I'd love to throw to you, Carter, is really just open-ended. Seeing if amongst our conversation, if there's anything that we haven't really touched on or covered, or just, you know, word to the wise, what are some of the thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I think we've talked about most everything. I guess there's one thing that I might interject as something a little bit different, and then maybe just reemphasize a couple things. I mean, I think as human beings, we're all, especially in the business world, like we're all wired to impress, right? Like we need to know our skills. We need to know the discipline of the job. So I think in any role, whether you're, a product marketing manager, whether you're a CMO, it doesn't matter. It's like you get asked that question by the boss and like the gut reaction is like, I should know the answer to this, right? Because that's how we get measured, I suppose. The thing about marketing is we don't know all the answers. We just don't. It's not as cut and dry as finance, for example, right? Or writing code, and by the way, I'm not minimizing any of those things. They're very detailed. They're very important, but they tend to be more black and white. And where I'm going with this is that, again, marketers tend to get, they get absent-minded, I believe, around testing things, asking the questions, like going to the market. Like, we're not the smartest people in the room. You know who the smartest people in the room are? The customers that actually need the problem fixed. So, like, you're developing a messaging framework or a positioning platform for a product. Like, how many times have you gone and actually run it by an existing customer? Like put them under NDA for the product launch that you're going to do and say, like, hey, I want to run some stuff by you. What do you think about these messages? Like, here's the, like, actually take an hour to explain this new offering, what we have, and here's the problem it solves, and here's how I'm trying to position it, and what's your reaction to that? Do a small focus group. I mean, do A/B tests on value messages when you're working with like a demand gen team. Like call up a customer and say, hey, can I get your opinion on these pain points and benefits? There's like no better argument when the marketing leader or the CEO says, well, why aren't we talking about this? There's no better argument to say, because we actually spoke with prospects and customers or whatever, maybe we spoke with the market and here's the feedback we got. And these are the points, like it kept coming up over and over again. Like that can't be emphasized enough. And honestly, in our day-to-day work, it's about time. And, God, this product launch is due in 2 weeks and we're so behind and we don't have, like, who has the time to actually go do that? But like, we're missing a huge opportunity and not getting it right coming out of the gate by not testing, experimenting, et cetera. So I would say we probably didn't talk about that very much. The other things I would just reemphasize, the value quantification, is just absolutely critical to differentiating yourself in a way that you can own that nobody else can. I'll actually give you one really quick example of this. This is actually more related to brand than it is product, but I used to work with this company, Avid Technology, and Avid makes software and hardware for digital media creators. So film and video and music and television and all that kind of stuff. And when we were doing some brand positioning work, one of the differentiators that we had other competitors like Adobe and Apple and, who were all kind of creating some of the same tools. But one of our brand differentiators, we actually did a survey internally with our employees, and we found out that 70% of our workforce were actually audio and video customers themselves before they came to work at Avid. It's like almost three quarters of the company. And they used Avid products outside of their day-to-day job. So part of our company positioning was sort of that, like, by content creators for content creators message. And the competitors couldn't touch that, actually. Like, none of our competitors had that many people who were former professionals that were now working for a company. So like, that's at the corporate level. But really being able to quantify, quantifying a metric like that is what sets you apart. And the last part, again, I said it earlier, is just being human, right? You know, buyers actually don't think like marketers do. They just don't. Like, marketers talk about this feature and that feature, and people don't need features. They need peace of mind. They need change. They need to feel good about how they're spending their money. And like, they need to feel good at the end of the day about the job that they did. You know, if I had a dime for every time I saw, like, how many times, you know, I read, like, you need this. Like, the reason you need this product is because of this. And it's like, there's nothing substantive there. We're just not being human. So I know I said those things already, but those are the things actually that I think they fall away very quickly when we get into like launching a product and the full, you know, launch matrix and all the things that need to get done. We lose sight of like talking to customers and being human and actually getting some real hard data that justifies our differentiation. And I think if we did those three things in everything we do in product marketing and in marketing overall, like that's a force to be reckoned with.
What a good reminder, especially as we continue to talk about, you know, metrics and KPIs and goals and objectives, is to just, you know, take a step back a little bit and remind ourselves to be human in the way we speak about our solutions, and definitely carve out that time to connect with the customer, connect with that prospect.
Imagine if we had a qualitative metric that was around the human nature of the tone of our messages.
Yeah.
And we measured that. Like we actually, you know, even post-launch, like we actually said, hey, we surveyed some customers and said, did these messages work for you? Like, did you know, I mean, there's just, we don't do that in general. I just don't think we do across the board.
Well, definitely some opportunities. I think I'm walking away with a handful of different lessons, some good questions for my product team. The reminder that it's okay. Marketers don't have to have all the answers, but we do have to be willing to, you know, iterate and test and be willing to kind of, you know, learn from what we're hearing from the customers and just move with them. Oftentimes, of course, try to maybe get a little bit ahead of them, ahead of that customer. But a lot of great insights, Carter, from our conversations today. I really appreciate the time, really appreciate the insights that you've shared.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I enjoyed the conversation as well. It was great.
Awesome. Thanks, Carter.